All right, a very good series for the Padres after losing game one. A couple of minutes late, but good to be with you here tonight on the Padres Collective presented by Prize Picks. John Schaefer, Matt Devine, Kevin Acey hanging out for the next hour. Padres coming home. Look at the Cardinals for a four-game series beginning on Thursday night. It happens to coincide with Mason Miller's bobblehead night. Of course, Mason Miller and DSG are now boys.
That's my well. Guy.
And I know that we need to get into Kevin and Matt got to how to get together in the Bay Area.
That was also that it was a great week for get togethers, man. We had me and Kev had a blast. I obviously, if you don't know, I'm working up in the Bay Area. So, you know, whenever the pods are in town, it's always great. I go to almost every game that I can go to. So I went to Monday and Tuesday night, was able to get lunch with my man Kev, which was great. We had an awesome time. It was honestly probably the highlight of my week, so it was really fun.
We're going to get to all of this here. Please, as you make your way in live or on replay, subscribe to this channel. We have year-round weekly Padres content for you. You can smash the like button for us. We appreciate that. We see some of the super chats that have rolled in. We'll get to your super chats. There will be time to get to all of your questions here tonight for myself or Kevin or Matt, so you can click the dollar sign below the chat box and appreciate those that have subscribed. We're trying to get past 2,100 subscribers tonight, but a lot of different angles here. I mean, the game one obviously didn't go the way people were hoping, and the Padres all of a sudden had lost 5 of 6. But what a difference 24 hours could make from last night to this afternoon. 10 yesterday, and then a 5-1 win here today with Matt Waldron doing most of the work and then some timely hitting. And it's tough to complain is what I would say. I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts. I mean, 22-14, considering some of the issues that this team has experienced. But in terms of wins and losses, they've been one of the better teams in the National League.
It's tough for me to complain because I do need a few minutes to talk about the cup of coffee that is Matt Devine. And he is a phenomenal human being. If you cannot tell on this, I walked away with a gigantic smile, the absolute most positive person that I have met in a long time. And I needed to say that. So was the highlight of my week. Even though I get to watch this team do what it does, and I'm still like, what is it that they do? What they've done is win half of their 22 games by scoring the decisive run in the seventh inning or later 11 times. That's in half their games. They play more 3-, 4-, 5-run games that feel like 1-run games than I can ever remember watching a team play. Like in the Padres, I've always played tight games. They're exciting and boring. Like it's amazing. Depends on when you tune in, I guess. So yeah, it's really hard to complain. I can nitpick, but we can save that for later in the show.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Kev. Honestly, I you know, John, I loved your point, right? Monday night, vibes were a little low. I had the energy in the stadium Monday was weird. It was cloudy, you know, as we didn't know if it was going to rain. It was just a weird kind of energy. Obviously, the White Sox series didn't go our way. You know, we were scuffling a little bit. And yesterday, Logan Webb on the bump, it's a 4-1 game. You're like, oh, man, it's looking like scary hours. It's looking like this is going to be the first real obstacle Craig Stammen has to face. And then we just start raking, man. And it was just a fun. And like we said earlier, right, if you were to tell me that on May 6th, we'd be 22-14 and Fernando Tatis Jr. would have a 606 OPS, you know, Manny Machado would have a 679 OPS and Jackson Merrill would have the same OPS. So everybody's sub 700 and we are, you know, two games up. It's meh. We're two games up in the wild card. If the season were to end today, it's going to change so much. The Phillies looked like they were dead weight that now they fire their manager. Now they can't lose. That's just how baseball is. But you know, it's pretty encouraging to an extent that this team's winning ball games, you know, despite their stars not playing, because I know we say it every episode, I truly do believe, and Jackson turned it up a little bit this week. You know, sooner than later, those numbers are going to start coming. Juan always finds its level. Manny's a back of the baseball card guy. Who knows what's going on with Fernando, but I still believe in him. And Jackson looked great this series. So I'm excited, man. I think it's going to be it's reeling up to be a fun summer of baseball.
Kevin, I like what you wrote. I think it was before game two, where you basically referred to Craig Stammen saying, hey, maybe I need to mix this up with the lineup. You know, we'd scored 14 runs in 6 games. San Diego had in that 1-5 stretch. Let's shuffle. And again, they've tinkered, as some of these hitters have as well, but Craig Stammen has tinkered as well. And that lineup was unconventional, I think most would say, yesterday. Fernando Tatis Jr. hadn't batted fifth since 2019 as a starter, and it didn't necessarily ignite Tatis, but collectively 14 hits and 10 runs. So that was point one as we get into kind of Stammen's decisions here over the last 48 hours. The lineup changes, the team performs. And then today they elect to go with his opener, and it pays off. Whatever the reason, if it's because, you know, Waldron didn't have to face the top of the order three times, but like whatever the reason was, he pitched as effectively as he did. Good on Stammen maybe, but it felt like a couple of decisions paid dividends immediately for Craig Stammen over the last 2 days.
Yeah, I think big picture, they're paying dividends. What they did, the difference between Monday and Tuesday, is they let that kid, Trevor McDonald, own them. They let him dictate the game. They did not let Logan Webb dictate the game. They faced Logan Webb like as much as any pitcher, active pitcher. And they learned from the night before, and they just made better swing decisions, and they made them early. That's something this team likes to do, and it looks really ugly when they, you know, go 1-2-3 in an inning, and then 21 pitches, score 5 runs without hitting a home run, like virtually impossible to do, as they did in whatever inning that was yesterday. And so, like, the lineup change, okay, whatever. Why I say big picture is, like, the biggest question I got, we may have talked about it here, but the biggest question I got when Craig Stammen, this middle reliever who had never managed before above his son's 7U baseball team in Versailles, Ohio, was, is he going to have the gumption to drop guys in the order? Is he going to be able to make the tough decisions? Is he going to be able to deal with his former teammates? And I said, yes. I get the question, but you don't know Craig Stammen, as comfortable in his own skin as anybody that I've ever met, and has a great relationship with these guys. I never saw Bob Melvin drop a struggling star. I never saw Mike Schilt drop a struggling star, not like this. So I thought that was big. Were the players thrilled? Not all of them. Do they understand? Are they kind of like, yeah, like this guy means business? Absolutely. That's why I say big picture, Craig Stammen's making all the right moves. He almost screwed up an at bat for Ty France today, but hey, that's okay.
It was it's fun to see a manager, you know, it's like a fresh perspective, especially coming off Schilt ball, where he's a very stubborn guy, right? He wins 90 games. There's no doubt. So I can't hate on that.
It's like every time you talk about Mike and you're like this, you have to go, you know, I know he won 90 games. You know, that's how I feel.
It's 90 games.
I know he's a winner.
Like, hey, I got to give him a little love. I've been enjoying the Craig Stammen experience, man. It's a tough job. You're going into a clubhouse. Obviously he's played with these guys, so it helps, but you go in, right? We don't hire Albert Pujols. A lot of people thought that was going to be the guy. Oh, he's going to unlock Fernando. He's the pick. He met with the team for 8 hours. That is great. We interview all these guys, and Preller just hires a puppet. That's what a lot of people were saying, right? They're like, Preller just wants a yes man in office. This guy's going to be a manager for, you know, maybe a year. We're going to miss the playoffs, and we're going to have the lockout, and everything's going to change. Craig Stammen has been doing a great job. I mean, outside maybe the first series or one or two series, and maybe a, you know, bullpen decision or one or two, I mean, this guy's been doing a great job. Like, as a fan, you go and the team's slumping, right? Lost 5 out of their last 6. You know, the Giants were doing terrible. You're like, man, are we really going to lose a series to these guys and the White Sox back-to-back? That's not what a World Series team does. The vibes were low, and me and Kevin had lunch on Tuesday. The vibes were not high, 100%, on a cloudy San Francisco day. But Craig Stammen switched it up, man. Crony to the IL. Hopefully he gets better. That being said, I mean, he was awful. Like, he's been awful this season. He has a 480 OPS. He's been really bad. So what do? You bring up SMS. You bring up the Korean guy that you signed in the offseason. And we're like, hopefully this guy can get a hit or two. That was a huge hit. The entire vibe of, hey, it's been a little over 24 hours. That being said, if you ask anyone in the Padres fan base, the entire vibe shift on that Sungmoon Sung rip to left center off Logan Webb. I thought that ball was out. I was watching it. I was sitting third baseline, a row up, or second deck. I thought he hit a home run. That ball was killed off the bat. And you see that, and you're like, wow, Craig Stammen. That takes a little moxie, baby. It takes a little bit of, huevos. Yeah, Tatis can't buy a hit right now. Move him down the lineup. If Tatis is up in the lineup today, who knows if we win that game? There's a couple decisions, a couple ABs. It's like I've been a big fan of Craig so far.
What I like with the benefit of hindsight, which is only a month, is that when it was a scuffling start and they're 2-4 in their home stand, they're playing in front of 45,000 people and the offense wasn't playing, and he had the public admission, and Kevin, you were in the room. It's like, maybe I haven't like done a good job writing the lineup. And I don't, he even went further. It's like Randy Knorr wrote the lineup the day that they actually broke out, and he credited Randy Knorr. 9 out of 10 people aren't doing that. To me, what it signifies or suggests, and Kevin knows it better because he's covered his career and knows the man, not just the manager, is he's just comfortable. It's just like, and by the way, that's as like good of a compliment as you can give to anyone. Because sometimes it's hard. Like oftentimes people want to be someone that they're not. I mean, it's a very common trait with human beings. You're always trying to find, like, who am I as a radio host? Who am I as a coworker? Who am I as a journalist? And then you just kind of like, this is who I am. So like right, wrong, or different, this is who I am. But for a young man, like as a man, he's a young man. He's a young manager as well. He's just comfortable. And that's so much easier said than done. And I've come to kind of appreciate that.
And on a public stage where every single thing you critique. Do to not only the constituency, which I don't think that Craig really pays attention to. He's not that guy. He's not paying attention to me, you know, what I'm writing. He's not paying attention to what you're saying. Yeah. So, but his constituency of his players, constituency of his bosses, his coaches, the organization. Yeah. And he does feel the burden of the fans for sure. But I'm just saying, like, he on a public stage to be that guy. And look, everything too, today he owned that. Yeah, you know, I didn't put Ty France in a great spot. Basically, I threw strike one to him. I assume anybody watching this knows what happened there. But like, yeah, look, and comfortability, genuineness plays in a clubhouse. So I will still say, I don't know. Like, look, every Padres team that has started this well, and this is the fifth team to start this well after 36 games, has won at least 89 games. All right. They might be pretty good. They got to do a lot of things better. I don't know what Craig Stammen's managerial career is going to look like, but he's exactly who I thought he would be as a manager.
Yeah, I always say this, and then we can kind of move on, John. I'll go quick. Craig Stammen had was it 11 or 12-year career? Was it 13? He had a 12-year career, right? Craig Stammen, if you were a Padres fan during the Craig Stammen era, which I'm assuming a lot of people who are watching this episode were, he wasn't Mason Miller, guys. You know, Craig Stammen grinded to have that career. You don't just have a career as a, you know, it's not like he's 6'8". It's not like he is throwing, you know, he's not Adrian Morejone with the nastiest slider you've ever seen, or Mason Miller sitting 101. This guy threw like 92 miles per hour, but he made a career that lasted over 10 years without the best stuff. What does that show you? He finds ways, man. He finds ways. He doesn't seem stubborn. He seems like someone that's constantly learning and evolving, which is, as a fan, all you want out of your manager. Hey, is Craig Stammen the reason Tatis hasn't hit a home run? No. But is Craig Stammen the reason where he's like, hey, this isn't working right now? Let's figure something out. Let's switch it up. I like it as a fan for sure.
When I had Kevin on today, actually on the radio on 760. And by the way, if you're here, subscribe. There's 225 people here live right now. Please subscribe if you're new to this channel. We have year-round weekly Padres coverage for you. And we see all the super chats. We appreciate you. We'll have time for those towards the end of this hour-long episode. So make sure to get those super chats in. We appreciate your support of the channel. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. And as I say that, I've kind of lost my train of thought on what I was saying about when I had
on. Of course you forgot it because you were talking about what I said today on 760.
No, yeah. It was in line with something we were just discussing, right? Oh, you know what I said? Because the whole Machado Tatis Merrill, which is obsessively discussed, more so Tatis, and rightfully so. These are Padres fans. The jerseys they wear say Tatis on the back.
When are we gonna start talking about Manny, and when is Craig gonna move Manny down in the lineup?
Right.
Just kidding.
No, exactly. But here's the thing. And I said this with Kevin. If they're 14-22, the Padres, it's all you're talking about. It would be obsessively awful. I mean, it would be all encompassing. Imagine talking about the Giants right now. I don't know what they're saying, but it's not good. But and then imagine it with the star power of the Padres and the expectations of the Padres. The fact that they're 22-14, there's so much time to discuss that, and we will. And Kevin gets asked it every single time he does an interview. But like to the point on the left-hand column of what we're talking about today, some of the productivity they're getting from Ty France off the bench, or Sungmin Song in a limited amount of time, or Xander Bogaerts in a big spot here today off the bench. It's like, yeah, there's a time and a place for Tatis. Merrill's been much better, obviously. Tatis, Machado, all that. We'll talk about it all year long. But with that being said, we should also talk about some of the production they're getting from other pieces to put them at 22-14.
Everybody on the team, including Bryce Johnson, who like you barely ever hear from, right?
Yeah.
He barely starts. I think it's six starts. Every guy on the team has a game-winning or game-deciding RBI, right? Like, okay, some of that chance, sure, but that means they're coming up big. Gavin Sheets, clutch. Dick Castellanos has started to hit. Miguel Andujar, all he does except for today is hit. He's been on base in like 20 of 22 games or 23 games. It just go down the list of guys. I mean, Ty France was an all-star. Nick Castellanos was an all-star. Miguel Andujar has been hurt a lot. There was a time you thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be one of the best players in the league, but he's been hurt a lot and he produces off the bench. He knows how to do that. So like they have built, and I'm really glad that we're going this direction, the deepest Padres lineup in like a long time. You look at 2022, which by the way, was one of the better starts than this in Padres history. Manny Machado and fan favorite Eric Hosmer were leading the league in batting average and on base percentage.
I remember that.
Every day it would be flip-flop, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Like, that is not happening now. It's because of this deep lineup. And I will always talk about the stars because they're the ones, and we don't need to do it every episode of why that is. But this is an incredibly, relatively speaking, deep lineup. I don't know if it's the deepest. Might not be the Cubs. It's close.
It's a fun time, man, because like I said, right, it's like you got depth. The most fun teams that I've ever rooted for are teams that it's not just your all-stars that, you know, are being stars. It's not your two or three guys. I always say most teams have about two or three stars, right? Most really good teams. Like you look at the Cubs, right? You got, you know, PCA, you have, you know, Bregman. I mean, Kyle Tucker's gone, but like you always have like one or two guys. It's like your guy, your big contract guy. Right now, we have those. We have four guys that are like the big contract guys. Last year, our bench, it just didn't really work, honestly. We were calling guys up from AAA who were kind of like career minor leaguers, you know, hoping that we were going to catch lightning in a bottle. It just didn't really work. 2024, it worked. It did. 2024, you know, you trade for Arise right around now. You sign, Donnie Barrels, Donovan Solano, David Peralta. You know, there's just guys that kind of came in and caught a little bit of fire. When Nick Castellanos at the plate, I think that guy's going to hit the ball really hard every single time. And what's great about some of our bench guys is like, they got a little bit of pop. Like, we have not hit any home runs from our big guys. I mean, except for Xander, who's somehow just found – you know, the craziest power stroke I've ever seen. But you see guys like Miguel Andujar who comes to the plate. On that night, last night when Andujar was up at the plate, in his head, it was like the opposite of Tatis. Tatis is at the plate like, I can't buy a hit right now. Andujar is like, whatever I swing at, I'm getting a hit. That confidence is electric. And it goes through, right? It's like, do you have enough guys? Like, I honestly think Gavin Sheets thinks he's going to hit a home run every single time he's up. Like, I genuinely believe that. His power stroke... He, today's game, hits that ball, goes foul. Splash hit. I'm like, man, next one. Bummer. Legitimately the next pitch. The next
that
pitch
never happens.
ABs.
I know.
Adrian Hauser tries to give him a little high heat. Derry Bonds into McCovey Cove. It's like this team, the bench, they play with some, I love to say the word VAR, but this team does have a lot of vibes and it's got a lot of energy. And, you know, when your stars aren't performing, there's a reason why you're still 22-14, and it's because of the bench.
I know that we're on to a new topic. I know we're on the new topic, but it would be remiss to not say, look at how Craig Stammen has used everybody and all the different lineups and getting guys in. And the players will credit him with that. And because, you know, not everybody, as a matter of fact, most people can't go a week without playing and then come in and produce. And these guys have not had to go a week. Ty France had gone 2 days before today, so credit to him. But that was a long time. So I just wanted to say that. That's it. I'll stop talking about Craig Stammen.
No, it's funny because this is the second or third time in the weekly shows we've been doing during the season where I'm thinking to myself, the difference between a good team and a bad team is like, it's just a moment in a game.
Yeah.
Like the difference between good teams and bad teams is who wins rubber games, because every team wins a game in a series. Yeah. Like by average, every team's winning 50 something games. Well, that's winning one out of every three games. But like the way they won today, yeah, credit Ty France, and he's credited with the triple. And it would have been, I mean, it was a ranging play from the right.
Credit Jesus Rodriguez.
But the ball should have been. Yeah, the ball should have been.
Triple A catcher they had in right field.
Yeah, but it's like if Fernando Tatis Jr. is the right fielder, it's just a galloping play. Like he wouldn't even dove. He just would have caught the ball on the run, and you would have lived to see another inning. And now maybe Xander comes through later. But like, yeah, it's a 5-1 win. You're like, yeah, it's a decisive. They won it on the strength of like a moment or maybe a second one when Xander came through. But this is for those of us with perspective, all three of us do. You've seen the other side with the Padres, like in 2017, where it's like they find ways to be the 70 and 92 team where they take a game or two from someone, but then they'd give up a game or two to someone. You'd beat the Dodgers one time, but you'd lose to them the next two or three, and so on and so forth. It just feels like so far they've been the team that's just been one play better, and they've been clutcher than their opponents. That's a credit to San Diego.
Well, heck, just go back to 2023. That team had zero moments. Yeah,
no
Never
clutch.
Came back from more than a two-run deficit, right? That was a
That's insane.
More talented starting lineup, at least. I mean, so, yeah, this team has that for sure. And it's funny because me included, without a doubt, we are so myopic, right? And we look at another team's wins and go, oh, that team won. And we're breaking down everything about what the Padres do.
Yeah,
like, exactly. Don, it is such a great point. Not only about how sweeps are hard, but also that we don't know how many moments other teams have too. And then moments build on other moments. There's a debate out there. Is momentum a real thing? Mm. Players think it's a real thing. Yeah. So it's a real thing.
It's 100% a real thing. I'm a fan, and I think it's a real thing. I mean, I loved your point too, John. You win 60 games, you lose 60 games a year, right?
All
no matter
teams.
What. It's those other, what is it, 42 games?
Yep.
Today is one of those 42 games, 100%. If you lose this game, you had lost three straight series going into a four-game set against the Cardinals, who are six games over 500 right now. Not a bad baseball team coming to town. Who are probably like, hey, we could beat up on these guys a little bit. You go, you win this game, happy flight back. You got Mason Miller bobblehead tomorrow. And you come in, you're like four games set, Mother's Day. You're like, the place is going to be packed. You know, it's crazy how, you know, a ball hitting off the right fielder's glove and Xander, you know, getting a meatball and taking it to left field. It's like little things. But just like my dad always says, it's like, you know, make your own luck. Right. You know, people who aren't lucky say, oh, man, that guy's really lucky. Well, yeah, he also worked his ass off to get himself in that spot. Right. If the Padres didn't have Matt Waldron throw five innings today with seven Ks and keep them in that game, that ball hitting off the glove doesn't happen. There's so many people. So, like, what's a beautiful thing about baseball is, you know, it truly is the team sport. You know, if you watch a guy golfing, if he has a bad game or a bad day golfing, it's on him. There's no one else to blame. Baseball, you know, you pick your guys up. And a lot of these guys are unsung heroes for the moment, like the Ty France hit or the Xander hit. But a good team has a lot of guys do those moments. And that's when people start rolling. And that's when the momentum happens.
I want to get back to this conversation. I think it's a really good one. I do want to spend a few minutes on just Manny and where we spent so much on Toddy that I do feel like it's fair to at least acknowledge where Manny is at this point. We can do that coming up. We can talk about this Cardinals series. The Cardinals are hot, by the way, coming into, to your point, Matt, coming into San Diego. But I do want to recognize our sponsor here on the Padres Collective, Prize Picks. And again, use our promo code HMA. You play $5, you get $50 instantly in lineups. Matt, I'm going to defer to you to start. Let's create a lineup involving the Padres and the Cardinals game one, Thursday night, Petco Park. How are you feeling about Michael King?
Michael King, man, he's looked fantastic. You know, 5.5 Ks. I'm thinking about the Cardinals lineup right now. I'm trying to think of, like, you know, they're kind of a rebuilding team, but they're kind of a little bit White Sox-y, where they kind of play with a little bit of, you know, swagger, because they're like, hey, why not? You know, Jordan Walker's having a great start to the season.
Yep.
I would say Michael King, packed house for Mason Miller bobblehead night. I'm going over six. I think he has 6 to 7 Ks. And I didn't mean
to say like six. So more than 5.5.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, let's do the hits plus runs plus RBIs. We're going to need a Cardinal in here as well. But Jordan Walker, I'm going to take more than a half hit plus run plus RBI.
Yeah. That's
been unbelievable.
Yeah, he's been great. It's fun to watch prospects like that, right? Comes up, has the first like 2 or 3 years in the league, and he's just like, everyone's like, oh, he's a bust. The word bust is so easy to say, especially with social media now. He's 23 and he hits the ball harder than like anyone in the league. It's like sooner than later, he's going to figure it out. And he's figuring it out now. That being said, how about you, you know, forget it for about 4 games, Jordan, and then you can figure it out again on next Monday when you stop, when you leave San Diego.
And what'd you say, Kevin? Who's pitching for St. Louis? Is it a
Liberator?
Yep. It is. Okay. So a lefty. What Padre are you thinking?
I know we're about to talk Manny, but
yeah.
Or I honestly think this is the type of guy Manny hits in the first inning. He hits like a 2-run home run against, ooh, right? And then he probably, you know, hits 3 grounders or something. But like that, this is the type of guy, it's like a low pitch. He hits it over to left field. Like this is the kind of pitcher that I see. Kev, what do you think?
You know, it's a really good call. I was going to say Jackson because I don't care lefty, righty. When Jackson is locked in like he is at the plate right now, which is fairly rare in terms of being this locked in. And I'm talking about pitch decisions and those types of things or swing decisions. But I love the Manny pick because the thing about Manny Machado, and I've talked to him about it before, and it's, you know, and actually a lot of like superstars, and what makes them superstars is they don't let this crap go on for very long. So like, he's going to break out any day if he's the Manny Machado that he has been for 10 years. So yeah, I like Manny as that pick.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get creative. We're going to flex this, which means if 3 of these 4 things happen, our $5 entry can still pay $190, which is 38-1 for those of you keeping score at home. That's how simple and easy it is to submit a lineup. Use our promo code HMA, play $5, get $50 instantly in lineups. Click the link in the description down below. Thank you to our friends at Prize Picks. All right, let me get Prize Picks off the screen. Let me get here we go. Here we go.
Perfect.
Okay.
Good job, John. Go.
Wow. This is not my forte, but I
it really is though. It really is though.
It's slightly my forte. Can we acknowledge that Manny Machado was hitless in San Francisco? Thankfully, they're 22-14. He has hit 5 home runs. That should be acknowledged. He squared to bunt. You know, I think bunted clearly for a base hit, but credited with the sacrifice for the first time since 2015, which is incredible. Everyone has had an opinion on Fernando Tatis Jr. Anyone in this city, anyone that's been to Petco Park, they all have more than 2 cents on Fernando Tatis Jr. I don't think everyone has offered their opinion as of yet. Truthfully, every Padre fan of Machado, I think there's this expectation. It's Manny. He's a Hall of Famer, and he is. He will hit 29 home runs. He will drive in 95. He will hit 279 or better. Will that be the case or not based on what we're seeing so far this year?
It's like, why are we not talking about him? It's like I said today with you on the show, that if Toddy had hit 4 of those 112 mile an hour balls slightly differently, we wouldn't be, there would not be 47 different things I've seen on Twitter where some guy has the answer about what's wrong with Tatis.
There's been a lot of that.
They're just, and I'm not saying some of them don't, but it's amazing they're not working for major league teams or like running driveline. but that we wouldn't be talking about him. It's the zero that we're talking about. We might be talking about, wow, look at, you know, 12 ground balls and his last 13 balls in play. But we wouldn't be obsessing over Tatis for a month. I think that's when I started obsessing over him. Manny, he has looked good for like 2 weeks and there was like just missing. He's missing too many pitches. And that's generally the issue with Manny when he is in a slump, is that just fouling those balls off. He's had a few, and he had one last night, I believe, like a 9-pitch at bat where there were 2 pitches in there where it was like, damn, one 100th of a second or 1 millimeter from that being a bomb, and then he strikes out on the ninth pitch or whatever it is. That's Manny's issue right now.
Yeah, I think we have to change our perspectives a little bit on necessarily, you know, the player that Manny Machado is. He's still a great player. I mean, people forget he started in the All-Star game last year, right? He's slumping a little bit, but he's getting older. He is getting older. So, you know, the bat 280 with 30 homers and 100 plus RBIs. As much as I'd love to believe that he's going to continue to do that for the rest of his contract with the Padres, the reality is he's probably not. But that being said, he is still a guy that's going to go up there. And I truly believe, you know, right now he's in a little bit of a slump and he hasn't had a great start to the season. And he better be thanking Fernando for not hitting home runs because he's not the main point of contact. That being said, I always love to say this. Look back at how the fan base was with Xander Bogaerts to start the season last year. I'll never forget. I think it was mid-June. I was like, this is the worst contract in San Diego sports history. I really was like, this is going to like ruin the franchise contract-wise. Since June 19th, Xander Bogaerts has been objectively a really, really, really good baseball player. Like, really good. He's our best player this season by far. There's no reason in my mind that Manny Machado doesn't still have a couple of just super hot stretches in him. And in sure. reality, all we really need Manny to do is stay on the field. And, you know, but hey, he didn't get a hit this week. And we lost one game by one run and we won the series. It's like you come through with a couple big knocks that maybe didn't happen this time in big spots. Like John said, it's one or two moments a game, right? I believe in the guy. I honestly think he's going to be fine. He's playing pretty solid defense this year compared to last year, in my opinion. I feel like he's doing well. Hit a play today after he did the sack bunt. I think the next play when he was in the field, he made a really nice like one-handed play. Like those are the plays that our fan base has taken for granted the last 7 years because we have Manny at third base and he posts, right? So when you have Manny Machado make those plays all the time, you think that just happens. I sat on the first base on Monday. He made an insane play. Like, I forget who it was, Rafi Devers or Jung-Hoo Lee, this close to being out, and Manny beat him to it. Those are generational-type plays that we just get used to, right? So Manny's going to be fine. And this is coming from someone that gives Manny a lot of grief. So, yeah, you know, I'm giving him some credit here.
I just took the, like, step back and looked at, where's Manny with career home runs and hits? And he truly will be. He will be one of the last players to have 3,000 hits and 500 home runs. And not like the last, but I'm telling you, though, it is becoming more and more rare. Like, look at active home runs hit in baseball. Look at active hit leaders career in baseball. Crossing the thresholds of both is going to be increasingly rarefied air. And it has been through baseball's history, but it's more rare, as Kevin writes about. Guys don't play every day. The game's become more specialized. Batting averages are lower than they were, obviously, in 1985. Yet, he's 900 hits essentially from 3,000, which is 150 a year for 6 years. He's fully capable of being that player. He's been much better than that, so he's fully capable. And at 374 home runs, he's basically 20 home runs for 6 years. He's always hit more than that. Even taking the step back, I think it's very realistic. He's going to hit 20 home runs for 6+ years. So with Manny, it's way easier for me to be like track record, track record, track record. With Tati, it's a much more different conversation. Not to say you can't have that conversation. It's a different conversation with Fernando Tatis Jr. Not that I meant to even compare the two players, but I guess my point is I just still trust in, there's so much time. There's so much built up equity. I know he's 33. He'll be 34 in July, but I just feel like all that equity, I'll look the other way when it comes to age, and I'm just going to trust Manny Machado to figure out a way, not just this year, but probably the next 3 to 5 years ahead as well.
We have to.
I think that's legit, and I do have to check myself because I think he's the most beautiful player that I have ever personally covered, like on a daily basis. Yeah. Like he's just incredible. He's one of the smarter baseball players. Matt nailed it on the defense. And, you know, I was checking myself today. He made 3 or 4 plays today that I remember going, wow, that's – and especially when Matt Chapman, who is a pretty good third baseman, but
hey,
it wouldn't have had that inning in the seventh without Matt Chapman booting another one of Fernando's grounders. So right. Not that Manny hasn't made some errors, but, yeah, he – I'm checking myself right now because I absolutely believe Manny finishes with 20 to 25 homers easy. But the beautiful thing, to go full circle, not that we're close to being finished, but that there was a time, it was 2024, and it was definitely true the previous 3 years as well. Like 2024, I think they were 34-1 when Manny had two RBIs. Like, it was just incredible. Yeah. And so think about what their record was when he, you know, didn't. And so that last year, that was not true. It's no longer the case. It wasn't last year. That might surprise some people. And it's certainly not this year that as Manny goes, the Padres go. Now, they would love for it to be a little bit more like that. But I think there is good in that. But yeah, I'm going to continue because I really do have great optimism about what Manny Machado is going to do. So I need to keep it objective. Maybe sometimes I get a little lazy about that. I don't know. Maybe we all do. Like, because he's always done it, he's going to continue to do it. I'm just, you know, being real. I'm working it out in my brain in real time.
I always just say, you know, water always finds its level. And I say this about Tatis too.
Until it's 34.
Yeah, I mean, until July 6th too, because he's exactly, he's same birthday as my mom. So always remember when Manny, whenever it's Manny's birthday. But, you know, I mean, Tatis, like you said, John, it's a little bit more concerning, obviously. But I believe both these guys are not going to end the season, you know, sub 700 right. OPS. Like, no, they're going to end the season 750 to 820 OPS most likely. And if they do that, and the other bench players continue to just show up, this team is going to win a lot of baseball games, man. It really is. It's like, you have to just think about it. Like, this is a deep team and the stars aren't performing. And Kev, you said it, 2022, Manny was an MVP. That was why we were great, right? Manny goes, team goes. Now we have a real squad. These guys don't have as much pressure because we're winning games even when they're not performing. They should just play like that. They should play loose. They should be like, hey, even if I don't have to take the weight like I used to. So I'm excited, man. It should be, it'll be fun when Manny has a crazy week.
I'm going to do the math on what Manny and Tatis have to do to get to 820 OPS. That will be absolutely incredible. The Padres might never lose again.
Yeah, maybe I might have been a little aggressive there. Maybe 760.
Took a 75% of the season in front of you. But yeah, I mean,
you did say that, 760 to 820. Yeah, you said that.
Yeah, we'll see. But real quick, though, just like entertain me for a second. Like, will any of these other, like Freddie Freeman, 2,469 hits. He can get to 3,000, but he's not hitting 500 home runs. He's at 370. Like, you look at this list of the top hit leaders, Freeman, Altuve, this is active players, McCutcheon, Goldschmidt, and then Machado. Like, the only player that has a shot, and maybe I'm too optimistic on it because the way players age. So maybe it will hit that skid in that 440 home run number and that 2,600. Like, maybe you only get one of them. Maybe I'm too up to, but I'm telling you, there's something about Manny, and to Kevin's point, how pure of a hitter he is. I just think it withstands time longer than some of these other hitters. I don't think he'll be the same hitter at 39 that he is at 29 or was at 29, but I think he'll probably be a serviceable hitter as a 37-year-old, which is only, you know, 3+ years away, would be my guess.
Well, I will say this, John. You know, maybe Freddie Freeman isn't going to do it, but Freddie Fermin's ABs are looking pretty good. You never know. I've seen crazier things, man.
If he gets to an 820 OPS, then give that guy the MVP.
If Fermin survives this season, I'll give him the MVP, man. We need it. He's on the struggle bus of all struggle buses right now.
Can we touch on, this is a topic of conversation to a smaller degree on social media, and then we'll get to the super chats. Is there a realistic path? This is a fascinating conversation. And I want to hear your two opinions before I even offer mine. I'll just ask it like this. Is there a realistic path for Ethan Salas to appear in the major leagues this year, even if it's in September when rosters expand by two spots and oftentimes you'll see a third catcher in the major leagues in September? Is that realistic or unrealistic? Should they attempt to do that or not attempt to do that this year?
I think they have pumped the brakes on Ethan Salas based, you know, it was, hey, we test our guys, right? Jackson Merrill, Fernando Tatis Jr. It was even Luis Urias. We test our guys, right? He's had injuries. That said, yeah, there's a path in September. I mean, also Freddie Fermin's taking a beating. Luis Camposano might go on the IL. Like, right. I mean, I'm not saying that Salas is what's going to happen there. I'm saying stuff happens throughout the season, right? So is there a realistic path? Sure. But they have pumped the brakes on that. But certainly very encouraging what he's doing.
It's incredible what he's doing. But I will say this. You know, we kind of dodged a bullet in a sense of, you know, we rushed his development really, really bad. We really rushed it. I mean, he was a consensus top 10. Some people were saying top 5 prospect at 17, right? They're like, what this kid's doing? He's the next Yadier Molina that can hit. Like, he's insane. We rush him. He has some injuries. He's not a top 100 prospect going into this season. This season's 22% of the way done. Obviously, minors is a little bit less season. Yep. That being said, we got this guy's confidence back. He's 19 years old doing what he's doing in AA. Why don't we just let him have a nice little run in San Antonio this year? And, you know, go to a couple Spurs games if they make the finals. Enjoy yourself. Have fun with your buddies. You're 19. You know, go to Galveston, like what Charles Barkley would say, right? I think Ethan Salas, let him have a nice season, man. We could figure something out. At the deadline, you could go, hey, if you really need another catcher, you can go figure something out there. No reason to rush this kid. And let's say he comes up and just, like, sucks, and then he's in his head again, and he gets an injury, and we're like, oh, man. Right now, we have a really good, really, really good thing going. He's a top – I think Baseball America put him at 27 and Robbie Snelling was 26. Also, congrats to Robbie Snelling. I met him before. Greatest dude. So nice. And he makes his debut on Friday. So happy for him. That's a trade that I always wish we had back. But when you trade a lot, that's what happens. I would love to see Ethan Salas have an entire year in AA and just see what he can do. And then next year, hey, maybe he crushes spring training and he comes up like Jackson Merrill did, right? It's like, I would love to see that. I think rushing him, especially after everything that goes on right now and what we saw already, I think it could be a mistake.
I agree with both of you. And to Matt's point, I would leave him there all year, even if he hit 400.
Yeah,
I just would. Just let something good be good. It wasn't good last year. Let this be good. Be comfortable. Gain confidence. You're not – Ethan Salas isn't winning you the World Series this year. Go be good in AA.
Love it.
And maybe you got a chance to make a major league team, which is incredible in itself if you got a chance to make a major league team as a 20-year-old next year.
I will say this real quick, John and Kevin. Living up in the Bay Area, right? He's a terrible president of baseball operations so far, but Buster Posey really was that guy, right? He really was the kind of, captain of those Giants teams when they winning MVPs as a catcher, everything. We might have – you know, someone that could be Posey-esque, right? Like, hey.
Well, it's early.
Well, it's early, but, you know, he's 19 and he's defensively, he's great. If he can bat, you know, 260, 270 with 20 homers, and he's a affordable catcher that we do one of those Preller deals with for a decade, you have that position. As we see with Freddie Fermin, 3 ABs a game, that catcher position's really valuable when you have a guy that can hit. Patrick Bailey against Adrian Morejon today. That guy can't hit. You're like, that's an easy out. Adrian Morejon was looking at Patrick Bailey like, I just need to throw this guy a strike. There's no way he hits me. If you have a catcher,
I don't even need to throw him a strike.
If you have a catcher that can hit on an affordable enough deal that's young, that's extremely valuable.
All right, let's get to these super chats, guys. Good stuff. Really good stuff. All right, guys, if you're here, subscribe. As you know, year-round weekly coverage for Padres fans. By the way, our next show, Kevin, remind me, next Thursday, correct?
Next Thursday, I'll be in Milwaukee. Yep.
All right. Kevin will be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Probably not with Ethan Salas, but Kevin will be in Milwaukee. We'll have a show for you next Thursday night here on the Padres Collective. Let's get to the super chats. If you want to contribute, if you want to support, click the dollar sign below the chat box. We do have time for you. Let's get it started with a buddy of the show and the channel, Par Threes Club. Thank you, man. He says, W for Craig's moves these last two games, LFGSD. And we've touched on that. Again, it's not supposed to be perfect. That's always the thing with the manager, too. It's like everyone wants, like, why don't you do this when it doesn't work out? Kevin, we talked about it. If the Ty France didn't work out and you're behind 0-1 and they lose 2-1, he would have been killed, so to speak, on local radio and on social media. But that's going to be part of it. There'll be a game where he gets beat. Like, he makes a decision that is costly in his team's ability to win. That's what 162 games of Major League Baseball typically do to managers, right?
I don't think there's ever been one. Tony Vitello
would have, been able to, he pulled two pitching moves and it would have worked out. And, absolutely. The manager, makes moves and they work out and they don't work out. But he has the manager's bigger job is handling the big picture, is handling the 2-5 that then became 16-3. It's not going to all the time. It's making sure that the 5 out of 6 doesn't stretch into, you know, then losing your third straight series. That's the manager's job.
I couldn't have said it any better. I will say this though, par threes, I have a couple shirts from them. Yeah, they are too. Awesome shirts. Yeah. They are awesome shirts. So shout out par threes. Thanks for watching. Kevin.
Get one to Kevin. Just send Kevin AC. Exactly. Kevin's like, just send it to Kevin AC San Diego. I think they said you could send things to like, who was it? Like, who's the famous pool player? Like Fat Slims, and you could just send it. Or what was the guy's name?
Yeah, you I know what you're saying.
Let me look this
Domino?
Up.
Domino? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or some poker player, you could just put his name on it and say Texas, it would just get to him. I don't know if you could do that with Kevin.
Fats Domino. Fats Domino.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm making it up probably. Paulie D, thank you, dude, for the super chat. He says the SMS chant, Sung Moon Song chant at Petco will be epic. We talked about this today, Matt, me and Kevin, that
yeah.
I mean, maybe there's a little bit of a longer leash here with Jake's, you know, ailment, the concussion symptoms. Maybe they don't press the issue and see what they have with Sung Moon Song. So it'll be kind of an interesting handful of days to handful of, who knows, weeks ahead here in that Cronenworth Sung Moon Song conversation.
Yeah, this was the idea like all along before he got hurt. It looked like he was trending to make the team, and this is why he was signed, to be able to be that guy that moves all over. He looks really good at shortstop today. And so, yeah, I mean, Jake Cronenworth's on this team, and he will be, but like there's no telling about this, and it may provide an opportunity for this guy to get, you know, a couple weeks or more. And then, okay, then if that's the case, then you're talking about where is Bryce Johnson at that point? Because you know what? Nick Castellanos made a play today. Then now Tatis would have made it, like, you know, been able to do 2 backflips and make the catch. But Castellanos made a play in right field today. I was like, this is a good jump. It's a good play. Okay. Because I was very worried about that. Castellanos playing right field at Oracle Park. I was very worried about that.
I will say this, 2 things. First, SMS. That guy is fan favorite, written all over him, man. Those chants are going to be crazy. Everybody's obviously going to compare him to Ha-Sung Kim, given the fact that Ha-Sung Kim was such a fan favorite, comes over from, you know, the KBO, just like SMS. Hey, when HSK came over, we weren't thinking he was going to be this, you know, 15 home run guy. He kind of came into his own a little bit. That ball he hit off Logan Webb, it wasn't like he hit it off some, scrub pitcher. Like Logan Webb is Team USA, Logan Webb, all-star pretty much not this year, but every year. That was a real AB, 2 outs, Oracle, MLB, real MLB debut. It's like, I think he's going to be a fan favorite. And on your point on Nick Castellanos, he had that home run, I think it was against the Cubs, where you know, he finally got that one. Everyone's like, oh, man, if he doesn't get a hit this game, he might be gone. There is not a doubt in my mind that guy's going to have at least 2 or 3 massive moments if he stays on this team. Because out of everyone on that bench, he may be 1 or 2 guys I know that actually has the pop enough in his bat to go yard off pretty much anyone. Like, he is Sheets-esque in the sense where when Gavin Sheets is up at the plate, he can hit a home run. Bryce Johnson, I love to death. I think he's an incredible athlete. I think he plays a very valuable role on this team. But if you were to be completely honest, Bryce Johnson up in the 9th inning with, you know, a runner on first and we're down 2 and 2 outs, isn't hitting a home run. Nick Castellanos has pop. We'll see how it goes in the future. Maybe he goes over his next 16 with 15 Ks and I'm like, oh, I might have messed that one up. There's a reason why I'm on a podcast and I'm not in the front office. So we'll see what happens.
That could change. Padres.com.
/careers. I'm a little emotional with my decision. So I'm not sure that's going to work out.
And maybe AJ is watching. You might get a call after this. He calls a lot of people. Let's see here. This is from Eli Heath. Thank you, Eli. He says, Kevin is taller than Matt, just so everyone knows.
That's true.
Yeah, well, we saw the photo that you put on social media. Kevin, how tall are you? And Matt, how tall are you?
I'm 6'3", so Kevin's really tall. You should have played basketball. I'm just kidding. I'm like 5'11".
Yeah, 6'3".
I'm not 6'3".
Like, what's the matter? You have osteoporosis? What happened to you?
Were you on the moon for 3 years?
It was a bad angle. No, Kevin, Mr. AC is a... He's a tall lad, man. You could tell he was a baseball player back in the day. I'm like, yeah, that guy's an athlete.
How tall are you, Kevin? Are you taller than
6'2"? No, I'm 6'2" and shrinking.
6'2" and shrinking.
6'2" is tall, man. 6'2" is tall.
It was. Yeah. Until I go stand next to all the pitchers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. They're right. Really tall. At least you don't cover the NBA. You know what I mean?
That is true.
Could be worse. Could be worse. Kenzie, thank you for the super. Kenzie saying Freddie Fermin is hitting .150. He's taking a ton of foul balls off his mask, no doubt. Should he go on the 7-day IL and Ethan Salas get called up? Not that specific. Listen, if something happens with Fermin, to Kevin's point, or one of these catchers, no, you're not at the point where in the middle of your season, like, hey, this guy had a good 10 days. Let's see what he can do. That would utterly shock me. But you'd obviously, I mean, at that point, I don't even know who's
Rodolfo Duran.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, no. I mean, absolutely, though, right? I what was it? Ty France was the backup catcher today. You're like, hopefully Campy's all right because he's been hitting well. But, you know, if Freddie gets hurt, next man up, but it's not going to be Salas.
Did Ty France catch anywhere, Kevin? Did he catch it?
High school. He was always the backup guy. He caught intra-squad games during COVID. He was their emergency catcher in 2019, you know, which means like the third catcher. Yeah. And then in 2020 also, it's part of the reason he made the team in 20. He, you know, with the Mariners, he was their emergency catcher. He loves it, man. The grin he was wearing before the game. And also he went out and he worked in the gear. And then he kept on the shin guards for like an hour afterward, half hour at least, while talking to, you know, guys from the Giants and players. He would love it so much.
He should have worn those to the plate when he had that triple. See if he could have gotten a third wearing.
It's hustling.
Hey, in defense of Stammen, also, first year manager, things are happening fast, and he's thinking, okay, wait a minute, I got someone song at second, I got Tatis at, I got someone song at short, I got Tatis at second, I got Castellanos at right. Okay, France is going to go in for Sheets, and then that's my emergency catcher over there. Like, there was a lot going on in that seventh inning with all the different positions happening today.
Yeah. Kevin, appreciate, this is Kevin Beer Up. Appreciate you, man, with the super check. Guys, if you're here, please subscribe and thank you for the supers. If you're here on replay, thank you for the super thanks as well. He says, Nashville, Tennessee here, grew up in Scripps Ranch. Go Padres. The Stars will get theirs. Glad AJ built this roster to withstand the temporary slumps. Can I just make a quick point about, like, you know, everyone's always critical of their own team. You're like, well, we're not the Dodgers. They can't get over the hump in the postseason. How many fans of big market teams like San Francisco Giants, New York Mets, Philadelphia Phillies would trade places right now with Padres fans because of actually their sustainability. Remember the big, like the Ken Rosenthal idea, is this sustainable? Even going back 5-6 years, can they withstand, you know, can they do this? And AJ Preller has proven, again, I don't know how this ends. I'm not saying they're winning World Series. I have no idea. I don't even know how this season ends. But like they have proven they can sustain. You know, I mean, they've been more than good enough, and they overcome headwinds that they have in San Diego that maybe don't exist in Philadelphia. It's impressive is my point. And it shouldn't be taken for granted because the San Francisco Giants are a proud franchise that is on hard, hard times. My two cents.
Yeah. Matt, I mean, I'll go real quick. Or Kev, where are you going?
No, you're the fan. I'm always interested in this.
I completely agree, John. I mean, I think we take it for granted sometimes, especially with the history of the San Diego Padres. Like, I'm turning 30 in a month, right? So this last 8 years of Padres baseball, maybe seven.
Good.
Has been incredible. It's been incredible. Hey, you're not going to win the World Series every single season. Even the best team, you know, a lot of times, 116 win Mariners team didn't win the World Series. Like, it's hard to win a World Series. Sometimes a lot of things have to go your way, right? The ball has to get lodged against the Blue Jays, right? Like, there's so many things that happen in baseball. So when you have a team that is constantly winning baseball games, you have a packed clubhouse, you got, you know, a show like this where there's a lot of people in the chat, we try not to take it for granted because there's so many cities that don't have this. And there's so many cities that are trying to have this. Perfect example, Baltimore Orioles. A year and a half ago, two years ago, team of the rest of the 2020s. They are going to be incredible. Grayson Rodriguez, Jackson Holliday, Gunnar Henderson, all the best stars. We're going to be great. I mean, guys, it's really hard. It's a really hard sport. But once you kind of get a nucleus in place in a culture, and our culture obviously isn't winning necessarily World Series yet, but man, regular season, they go in there, they're thinking they're making the playoffs. Like, this is a team that doesn't think. I don't care what the nerds at Fangraphs say every year. Oh, I think they have a 22% chance to make the playoffs this year. I watch this team every single day. They think they're making the playoffs. They really do. So I'm loving it. Also, shout out Scripps Ranch, man. I grew up in Sabre Springs, so right next to it. So shout out Scripps Ranch. There you go.
It's why AJ Preller would have had a job like the next day.
Yep.
If his contract were allowed to expire, or if it ever is here, because of an owner goes, wait a minute, what this guy's done with this much money and all this, okay, what? Yeah, AJ Preller's done a remarkable job.
Extremely quick question for Kev. Is it true AJ Preller was reached out to by the Dallas Mavericks for an opening GM role? I did see that post, and I don't know if that was a joke or what, but I did hear that he was getting reached out to by the Dallas Mavericks when they had the open GM role. And if I'm wrong, I apologize for bringing it up.
I can't prove a negative, but that is not something that I have.
In applying for the job, he's like, I would trade Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis.
I wouldn't trade him. Yeah. Like, you got the job.
We would too.
Without the minor leagues? What is he trading? Yeah. What is it? The G League? Yeah. Like, no. Yeah. What would this guy do without the minor leagues?
Such a good point. But he'd be scouting, man. He'd be all over like Lithuania and Croatia all summer long.
Exactly.
Saquon Merchant, thank you for the super. He says, Mission Valley Mafia shade. Ha ha. What am I missing there?
I haven't been to Mission Valley in so long. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. But thank you. Thank you for chiming in. James, appreciate you, man. He says, Chris Paddock was DFA'd. Do you want / need him back? No, I think that ship sailed, right?
No gracias.
But yeah, his numbers are not good.
Well, his brother also was a weirdo on Twitter too. So I wasn't
Is he still called the sheriff? I miss the sheriff, man. He's a good quote. Little surprised at the flame out a little bit. No, the Padres have a solution for now coming. They're fine. I mean, they're fine. I mean, I'm not going to be surprised. Maverick, I'll kind of be surprised that they don't add a starting pitcher. But for now, no, it's not a DFA scrap heap situation anymore.
We didn't talk about him, but man, Canning looked pretty solid for his first game. And obviously, I'm going to ride for Griff Canning regardless. But he looked really good. I was pretty impressed. I don't know if it was his changeup or what, but one of those pitches was pretty nasty. So, you know, we're hanging in there. Nothing. I wish Chris Paddock the best, but, you know, outside that, what was that, May 2019, him versus Pete Alonso for the NL Rookie of the Month.
This
outside
is of that, the 7-year anniversary of that, I believe.
That was special. Yeah. What a difference in careers if we would have been able to bet on that.
Are they doing a giveaway for it, this upcoming homestand?
I would love it. I would love that. That was a good giveaway. I won't lie. I think I still have that one.
El Cajon Wizard, thank you, man, for the super. He says, if our big three get hot and the rest of the team continues to play how they currently are, then we can win the World Series. One thing I would say, never discount the possibility of anything happening at the baseball postseason. You just got to get there. We've seen wildcard winners of the World Series. A lot of teams will believe they have a shot. And hopefully you'll think more heading into this October than we thought last October. It felt like the writing was on the wall even heading into last October. Like, it didn't feel overly realistic they were actually winning World Series. Could they beat the Cubs? Of course they could have. You know, of course. I mean, they easily could have won Game 3. But were they actually winning World Series last year? I would just say, hopefully when they get to the postseason this year, if they do it, you're feeling a little bit better about the overall quality of the team's play in that exact moment, their health, their performance, et cetera.
At this point, we can't even project that far, right? Because we don't know who's going to be in the starting rotation and all that. So, like, that's why for me, like, whereas last year it was kind of like, oh, yeah, like, this is all about, like, the playoffs because I think this is a playoff team. Well, right now this is probably a playoff team. But, like, it's different because of the big three are not performing. And for me now, it's like, make sure you get to the playoffs. Like, some guys got to start performing to make sure you get to the playoffs. I happen to think this team will have some different key pieces, or at least one different key piece in the rotation come the end of the season. And then we also don't know about Pivetta and Musgrove. So, like, if they get to the postseason, they could be as good as anyone, I think.
Kev, you said earlier, you know, players believe in momentum, right? I genuinely think that's exactly what John was saying about 2025. And you also mentioned this too, John. You were like, hey, there's like one or two moments in each game, right? And if it goes your way, that's what happens.
Yep, that's what it
is. We've already had a few of those. I would say in 37 games in 2026, we've already had more moments off the top of my head than we did all of last season. And that team last season won 90 games. But if you ask any true Padres fan, if that was your favorite season of Padres baseball, they would say no. And the reason why is because people love moments. People love that. People love when Jackson Merrill has a stretch in late July of 2024 where he hits go-ahead home runs in every single game. And out of nowhere, he becomes this guy that's, you know, the future, right? Or, you know, David Peralta and, you know, Tatis against it was just the energy in 2024. That's why it hurts so much. That's or even 2025 really didn't hurt that much, to be completely honest. Like, I was bummed we lost, obviously. But after a night or two, I was like, all right, like, let's see who we're getting in the offseason. 2024, I genuinely think if you did a deep analysis, psychoanalysis of me, I'm still probably still hurt about 24 scoreless. Like, that was,
could have won the World Series.
That was the team. That was the team. That team has a lot of similarities to this team. I will say that. Michael King wasn't Michael King last year. Michael King, 2024. We'll see. But yeah, I love it. El Cajon Wizard's a great fall if you're a Padres fan. Make sure to check him out.
All right, let's put a bow on today's episode. Now, I do want to mention before we get out of here, we can all promote whatever we'd like to promote, but Matt Devine had Mason Miller, future Hall of Fame closer, on your YouTube channel.
That's crazy.
You asked if you could, you were like, I could get a hit off you, or you and your brother were like, who could get a hit off me? And he basically laughed in your face, but I enjoyed that.
I got a text from a buddy of mine who played professional baseball for a while for the Rockies, and he said that was the most outlandish. He's my buddy Sean, but
he literally lives behind me.
The most outlandish thing I think you've ever said. He's like, he was the craziest pitcher I've ever faced, and I am like 50 times the baseball player you ever were on your best day. So I'm like, all right. Like, and he was nicer about that too. Mason Miller, if you have the chance, that's what I was going to promote. If you have the chance to check that out, I will say this. He could not have been a nicer and cooler dude. For one, giving us the time of day. But two, man, it felt like you were talking to a buddy you've known for a long time, right? And for the level of kind of player he is and the fanfare and kind of everywhere on MLB Network and all over social media, he's a really down-to-earth dude. Like, he was going to grab a coffee, hopped on his phone, and gave us the time of day. No one said he had to do that. So forever grateful for Mason Miller, and it doesn't hurt that he's really good at baseball.
Kevin, have you talked to Mason Miller at any point recently?
He's 10 out of 10 on the down-to-earth scale. He really is. Not a guy who wants the attention. He gets what a part of his job is as a pro. Does seem to really appreciate where he's come from and the fans. There's not anything – yeah. He is a really, really good dude.
Anything else you're working on for the viewers?
No, I remember in spring training when it was like, yeah, I got this feature coming out, this feature. Just now, writing every single day. That's what I do.
Okay. All right. You're doing your job, which is good. You can catch Kevin on San Diego Sports 760, including Schaefer and Sliwa, afternoons, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So this Friday before game two of the Padres and the Cardinals series. And of course, we'll be getting you ready for that on 760 tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. as well. We're back next Thursday night. So be here, subscribe to this channel. Looking forward to it. Kevin will be in Milwaukee. More Padres coverage for you here on the Padres Collective presented by Prize Picks. Appreciate each and every one of you. Subscribe, smash that like button, and we'll see you next Thursday night. For Kevin Acey and Matt Devine, I'm John Schaefer. This has been the Padres Collective. Peace.